America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
San Antonio Sports Star Audio Vault is brought to you by AA Best Bail Bonds, 225-2121, or online at mybestbailbonds.com. James Pledger, Jack Thompson, the Saturday Morning Hangover.
Welcome into the Saturday Morning Hangover right here on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM. Daria and Mel, you can wait your turn. You can have the show when we're done. We are going 9 to 11 right here on San Antonio Sports Star. We are live down at Legacy Park, the Yuengling Lager Hoop City at Legacy Park out at Pinkerton's Barbecue for our tournament takeover down here. Sweet 16 games in the books, Elite 8 coming your way, and there is no better place to be right now than out here at Yuengling Lager Hoop City out at Pinkerton's Barbecue in downtown Legacy Park. I'm looking around. This is a beautiful morning, Jack.
Oh, yeah. Feels great out here, man. Feels fantastic.
It's amazing. And once again, the tournament does not disappoint, as last night we get some more great games as the Peacocks continue peacocking their way into the Elite Eight when everybody all week said their time is over. Their run has come to an end. I kept trying to tell everybody, hey, guys, they made it here. They upset number 2 seed Kentucky and followed that up with a great win over a really, really good Murray State team.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Ten has underwhelmed to this point. To think that they can't go in and beat this Purdue team.
I mean, yeah, they had a shot.
Jaden Ivey is the equalizer for sure.
I thought Jaden Ivey would be force enough to get Purdue the win, but those Jackrabbits, man, or the Peacocks, rather.
Yeah.
They're tough as nails. There's no quit in that team, and I would not want to play them.
And early on, I thought Edie was going to be the difference maker in that game, more so than even Jaden Ivey. The way Edie just seemed to be feasting down low, especially early,
yeah,
they didn't have an answer for it, yet they went away
from him. He only finished with 11 points and I think 9 rebounds. Should have been an easy, like, 20-20 game for him,
yeah,
considering the Peacocks had no one bigger than 6'8 on their squad. So, but Shaheen Tholoway and his team makes it to another round. First 15 seed to ever make it to the Elite Eight. And, man, I'm not a team I would want to go up against because they are literally the hottest team in America right now. Super exciting.
They are awesome. And can you think of a better? And I know that North Carolina is sitting there waiting.
That's the second hottest team.
Can you think of a better Final Four storyline than Coach K versus St. Peter's for a chance to play in the national title game?
Yeah, it'd be Coach K versus North Carolina.
Do you think that's the better storyline?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Duke-North Carolina, that's the biggest rivalry in all of basketball. So if Coach K's Final Four appearance game is up against the North Carolina Tar Heels, that would be an incredible moment. And not to mention, they got whooped by them earlier this year in the ACC tournament, so it's a great storyline, but I think the one with against the Peacocks is more their storyline. Like, we're going up against Duke. Duke's better storyline would be playing up against the Tar Heels.
Now, of course, Duke has to take care of business today as they get Arkansas, who is as hot as anybody coming out of the SEC. They have had a great run to this point, and I think they're a team that does match up pretty well against Duke, and Musselman, in his own right, is a fantastic coach.
Oh, yeah, definitely one of my favorite coaches in college basketball, but strangely enough, I seem to remember the Fighting Texas Aggies bringing it to Arkansas 2 weeks ago, right?
They did.
About 18-point win.
They did.
And somehow we're in the NIT.
NIT semifinals, baby.
Hey, yeah, well, yeah. A team that should be in the tournament should win the NIT.
I mean, I look at this, and it's going to be a fantastic matchup today between Duke and Arkansas. Also on the books right here in San Antonio, the Houston Cougars, them Fighting Cougs, looking to go back to the Final Four for a second straight year after losing so much last year in terms of scoring points per game. Like, that is a team with Sasser and everyone, with what they lost, to see Shedd help lead this team back into an Elite Eight and possibly a Final Four. Fantastic. But waiting on the other side here in San Antonio, you got Villanova, which may be the most complete team I've seen to this point in the tournament.
Yeah, that's going to be a absolute dogfight of a game. The Villanova Wildcats are as cool, calm, and collected as you will ever see in a college team. I read something that before the Sweet 16 game, Colin Gillespie played about 300 March Madness minutes and had only had 7 turnovers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That is a
kid.
Fantastic.
So that's a kid that is going to take care of the rock, get to his spots. He's a guy you can't leave open from three. He's the ultimate floor general for a college team. And behind him, I mean, Justin Moore, great two guard. Probably their only legit NBA prospect on the team, Jermaine Samuels, 6'8", forward, kind of does everything for him, plays up to the five. And then they've got a big man, 6'10", Dixon, in the middle, who can even back out and shoot threes. So it's a really complete team, like you said. But those Cougars, man, that
they get after.
They are extremely tough. They bullied Arizona the entire game.
And they play Texas Tech ball better than Texas Tech, I think.
Well, they play Texas Tech ball, but they can score.
Yes. They and it's not just that they can score, because Tech scores, but it's usually off of sets and stuff.
Yeah.
They have guys that can go get it when the offense breaks down.
Exactly.
And that's the difference between Tech and Houston, I think. And down at the bottom, of course, Kansas now on their way. Probably the hottest team late in the Big 12. And finally catching their stride as we got closer to the tournament.
Yeah.
As you would expect, they were at the top of the Big 12 all year anyway, but started playing their best ball late as you get closer and closer against them Fighting Jim Laranjegas.
Hey, those Miami Hurricanes. That's a tough team,
and
man.
You told us, like, off the rails, like, what's one player in the tournament that we don't know named
Cameron
Ivey?
McGusty.
And you told us, down in Miami, Cameron McGusty. Go ahead and put your chest
hey,
out a little.
That's what I do. It's nothing new to me. This is what I do.
But this is going to be a nice matchup because, of course, the Big 12 was thought of as one of the best basketball conferences for most of the year, and proved it in tournament time as well.
Yeah.
And now you've got the class of the Big 12 sitting there waiting and then playing one of the hotter teams in Miami. What wins out here? The talent of Kansas, or do you like how hot Miami is right now?
Oh, man, that's tough. Miami's really good. Three very elite guards, Charlie Moore, Isaiah Wong, and Cameron McGusty, are as good as the three-guard combos you could possibly have in college basketball. But after that, they really don't have a lot, especially wing players. They have one pretty solid big, but their wing players definitely lack. What's been going great for Kansas lately is the resurgence of Remy Martin, their Arizona State transfer, who for the past 2 years for the Sun Devils averaged 20 points a game. He was hurt most of the year, so that's why Kansas, you know, they looked imminently beatable going into the tournament. But with him coming back and him coming off the bench and being, you know, the main scorer off the bench, along with, you know, National Player of the Year candidate Ochai Agbaji. They've got Christian Braun. They've got Jalen Wilson. They've got David McCormick in the middle. Kansas is just a deeper team, and I think that's just what's going to help them grind this win out and take themselves into the Final Four.
Also, of course, the Spurs have a huge game today.
Oh, yes.
4 o'clock. They are in New Orleans. They take on the Pelicans. They trail both them and the Lakers by 2 games for that 9th and 10th spot in the Western Conference and the possibility of a play-in tournament. Whoo! This is a huge game for San Antonio if they are actually going to make the play-in tournament. The last times they've been close, they have either rested players or mm-hmm. just not looked great. And then when they played New Orleans last, they got face thumped.
They got curb stomped, man. It was a disgrace of a game.
Do you expect today's to be closer, or is this who the Spurs are? They're going to beat up on the teams that are tanking, like the Trailblazers and Rockets, and they're going to get wins against Oklahoma City. But when they face teams that are actually trying for the play-in tournament, they're just going to get housed.
I mean, I don't know. This team is so up and down.
The inconsistency of this team is mind-boggling.
For us to get 30-pieced by the Pelicans and then go out the next night and beat the Warriors just absolutely makes no sense to me. I mean, it looks like we're about to fall butt backwards into the play-in just because the Lakers have a tough schedule down the stretch, mm-hmm. and so do the Pelicans have a much tougher schedule down the stretch. So I feel like we're absolutely gunning for the play-in, we should win this game. But our first target now is the Lakers.
Yeah.
Because the Pelicans are now above them. But the Pelicans and Lakers, I believe, play each other twice in the next couple of weeks. So I don't know what's up with the Spurs. I don't know what we're trying to do. For me, I don't want to be in the play-in.
True, but at the same time, while you don't want to be in, they are so far down in the pecking order of where you're probably going to finish that I think that it's actually better for them to make the play-in because...
Why?
Because they're not going to... Like, even if they miss the play-in, they're still going to be picking right where they were the past couple of seasons, 11th and 12th. Like, that's where I expect them to finish because... They're gonna beat the Rockets on the way out. They're gonna beat to the Trailblazers 2 more times on the way out because they don't want to win. Like those are teams that are done.
Yeah.
And so the Spurs have so many games against teams that are eminently better at losing games mm-hmm. because they don't want to win them. That they're just going to win the games that they should win. And at that point, might as well go for it because you're not helping yourself anyway along the way, right? So what's the point to just win some games that are going to be meaningless and finish 11th or 12th unless there's a payoff at the end of it, that being getting into the play-in tournament and getting these young guys some sort of postseason experience, even if you're not going to make it into the actual NBA playoffs?
I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying, but of course, if you make it into the play-in, you're set in stone where you're at. If we don't, we still have the lottery's
3% chance.
The lottery's chance. Hey, you've seen it happen before. You've seen it happen before. And, I mean, that's the difference between picking 8 or 9 and getting, you know, Johnny Davis, Jalen Duren, mm-hmm. a Keegan Murray, a Benedict Mathurin, or sitting out at 12 and getting... I don't know, like Ty Washington, Dyson Daniels, Tari sure. Eason. Like, there's a big gap between those 4 picks.
There is a huge gap between those 4 picks, and we'll get more into whether the Spurs should be attempting to get higher into the draft or make their way into the play-in a little bit later in the show. Of course, Deshaun Watson traded. And we have yet to touch on that since last week, so that is huge news. He spoke for the first time. with the Cleveland Browns. We'll get into that coming up. NFL free agency. Have the Cowboys done enough? What do we need to see from them in the draft? There are still some names floating around out there, and the Spurs do, or excuse me, the Cowboys do have some money to spend. We'll talk about all that coming up next. Of course, we are down at Yingling Hoop City at Legacy Park out at Pinkerton's Barbecue. Come join us. We open up at 11 here at Pinkerton's. We're going to stay after the show. We're going to have some barbecue. We're going to have some beer. $4 Yinglings, $4 Yingling Lagers, $4 Yingling Flight 99s. We're going to have $4 Golden Pilsners. Yinglings on special all day while you're here. So come down. We've got the great large screen out here. And, of course, you're going to get to hang out with us. And we're going to drink some beers with you. So come out. Say what's up. We are at Pinkerton's Barbecue, Yingling Hoop City Plaza at downtown Legacy Park. Come join us. The Saturday Morning Hangover. When we come back, we're going to look into the NFL a little bit, find out exactly what Deshaun Watson to the Cleveland Browns means for both the Texans and the Browns after his press conference. What's coming up next? That's all coming up right here on the Saturday Morning Hangover. Thanks for joining us on YouTube Live or on 94.5 FM and 94.5 AM. Excuse me. Jeez. Wow. 12:50 AM and 103.3 FM.
There you go,
Mark. We are San Antonio Sports Leader. We'll see you after this. Welcome back into the Saturday Morning Hangover right here on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM. There we go. I got it. It's only been almost a year now that we've made the switch. Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Hangover. Thanks for joining us on our YouTube Live page. Sorry, no Facebook Live this morning. I don't know what's happened with our Facebook account and StreamYard, but for some reason, it would not allow it this morning, so we are checking into that. But you can join us on our YouTube Live feed and, of course, online at sasportstar.com. I am James Pledger, joined by my dude, Jack Thompson. We are live downtown at Legacy Park, the Yingling Lager Hoop City out at Pinkerton's Barbecue. Come join us out here. Enjoy the show with us, and then afterwards have a few beers and some barbecue with us. Jack and I are going to hang around after the show. Come join us. Have some fun. NFL free agency has been insane this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
It started with Aaron Rodgers threatening to change and leave teams, and then all of a sudden Russell Wilson does leave teams, and then the AFC West turns into an arms race. All of a sudden Tyreek Hill is now in Miami this week.
Crazy,
and Deshaun Watson says it is Cleveland's out of the mix. Don't want them. Then they're like, how about $230 million fully guaranteed?
What?
And he was like, all right, Cleveland, you win.
Cleveland.
You win. And all of a sudden, Deshaun Watson is now in Cleveland. He spoke to the media for the first time yesterday. Obviously didn't say much in regards to still active civil lawsuits going in. Can't say much. Didn't expect him to say much. But the Texans got a decent haul for him. They got the three number ones they were looking for. They got a fourth this year. They got a third next year.
Mm-hmm.
And a fourth in 2024.
And a fifth, too.
And they gave up a sixth instead of a fifth.
Oh,
that's
sixth.
What it was.
Yeah, sixth.
So they got a nice haul for Deshaun. They've got multiple assets, including two first-round picks over the next 3 years, including 3 and 13 this year. So I think Caserio, knowing he was limited with Deshaun having the no-trade clause and being like, I'm only waiving it for this team, I think he did a pretty good job exacting about as much as he possibly could.
Yeah.
And the Texans are set up right now.
Yeah, definitely. They got a good foundation to set up on. They've got plenty of picks and a rich draft for sure. So if they're cool with rolling with Davis Mills, I mean, they can definitely fill the holes around him.
You fill the holes, and you find out by filling those holes this year if Davis Mills is the guy or not. And if he's not, you got a pretty good quarterback crop next year, including Bryce Young out of Alabama, who's the consensus number one quarterback going into the year. And I feel pretty good about that plan.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm Caserio, whether it's 3, 13, or even both of them, I'm looking to trade down and accumulate even more assets to the future so I have the capital to have multiple picks in the first round next year and also move up if I need to mm-hmm. to get that quarterback
yeah.
if I'm not the worst team in the NFL this year. If I'm Caserio, I'm still looking to accumulate more assets in this year's draft. And mm-hmm. I think that's going to be important to kind of fixate on as we get closer and closer to the draft and as this year's draft unfolds.
Yeah, definitely would look to accumulate more assets, get some more players in there. And like you said, with Bryce Young coming out next year, Tank is rolling forward for sure. You got to go get him. He's a generational talent. He's going to mm-hmm. be exceptional in the NFL. And if the Texans could land him, I mean, he's very, you know, maybe not nearly as exciting as Deshaun Watson,
mm-hmm.
but they have a lot of the same tools and same game in them. So it's definitely a high-value NFL prospect that all teams are going to be trying to go for.
So in terms of the Cleveland Browns, mm-hmm. is this a team set up to win a Super Bowl now? And what about this coming year for Cleveland? Because we still have the uncertainty
yeah.
of whether he will be suspended or not. And if he is, that's good news for the Texans because that can only help that draft pick that's coming next year.
Yep. I mean, their roster is definitely set up to win a Super Bowl. The only downside, or two downsides, I would say. Of course, there's still, you know, the murky water that Deshaun Watson's got to swim through. Because
mm-hmm.
if he is, you know, charged on any of these civilly,
yes.
he's going to lose probably 8 games. And then they'll bump it down to 6 with the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So with those 6, you know, if they could salvage, you know, 3-3 or out of that, then he comes back. Maybe they get to the playoffs and make a strong push. But I would say any worse than 3-3 in that division, it's going to be too little too late at the end, I think.
Now, in terms of the Dallas Cowboys,
mm-hmm.
they haven't done much.
No.
But there's still a lot left out there for the Cowboys if they
So desired
to get in on free agency, and they
yeah.
have the money to be able to do so. Stephon Gilmore is
yeah.
still available in free agency. Bobby Wagner is still out there. Trey Flowers as
yep.
an edge rusher. Melvin Ingram. You look at Julio Jones just released recently, if you want to help add to that receiving core. Eric Fisher on the offensive line. Justin Houston, if you're looking for more pass rushing. Jerry Hughes. Dwayne Brown, Akeem Hicks, Sheldon Richardson. Like, there are
yeah.
Jarvis Landry, Will
Calais
Fuller.
Calais Campbell, Tyron Matthew.
There is a lot available if the Cowboys so
yeah.
choose. And the longer these guys are all out there, the better it looks in terms of these guys looking to get on short-term deals,
yeah.
which the Cowboys love,
mm-hmm.
at low money
mm-hmm.
to boost their value going into free agency next year, trying to get on a team that is going to be set up to win,
yeah.
and in an NFC that has gotten imminently weaker,
yeah. yeah.
the Cowboys are one of the top teams
yeah.
for these teams' players to possibly sign a short-term deal with
mm-hmm.
to boost their value going into next year's free agency.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it sets up very well for them moving forward as we get closer to the draft.
Yeah, I would say so, too. We're in a good spot. We've got plenty of picks in this upcoming draft. Like you said, still money to go get some guys, and I think if we do it the right way, we can have a better roster than we did last year, even though we've lost some key pieces.
There's so much to get into with what the Kansas City Chiefs did and where people think they fit now in the NFC. I'd like to take a break before we get into this because that Tyreek Hill trade
wild.
Was massive
mm-hmm.
and wild, and the amount that Kansas City got back I think is undervalued.
Also wild.
So
5 picks.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about that wild Tyreek Hill trade, what it means for the Dolphins, what it means for the Chiefs, and where the Chiefs now stand in the AFC West pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up next right here on the Saturday Morning Hangover. We are live down at Pinkerton's Yuengling Lager Hoop City. Downtown Legacy Park. Come join us. We are here till 11, but we are staying later. We're going to enjoy some great barbecue when this place opens at 11. We are also going to have some of these great $4 Yinglings, Yingling Lager, Yingling Flight 99, Yingling Golden Pilsner. They're all $4. Probably get ourselves a bucket to split, I think, once the show ends. So come out, join us. We are here until question mark, but the show goes till 11 o'clock. Yingling Lager Hoop City down at Pinkerton's Barbecue in Legacy Park. Come join us right here on San Antonio Sports Star, 1250 AM and 103.3 FM.
Ronald Jones just signed with the Chiefs.
I feel so close to you right now.
Welcome back into the Saturday Morning Hangover right here on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM. Jack and I are live out at Pinkerton's Barbecue downtown at Yingling Lager Hoop City at Legacy Park. Come join us. Come say what's up. Come have some great barbecue with us. Maybe some $4 Yinglings.
Oh, yes.
Everything's going to be going good down here. Jack and I are going to hang around after the show a little bit. But as we're getting ready to talk about the Chiefs and that huge trade that came down with Tyreek Hill, Chiefs make a move while we're in break. They bring in Ronald Jones, former Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back, helped solidify that backfield with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And we talk about the Chiefs. That's a low-key really good signing for the Chiefs to add to that run
game. He's a good back.
They added Marquez Valdez-Scantling, so you've got that speed that Tyreek Hill. I mean, he's fourth in the NFL in yards per catch since coming into the league in 2018, averaging 17.5 yards per. That speed, man.
Yeah, no, he has great speed down the field, great separation. His problem has always just been, reeling in the catch.
Consistency. Yeah. But, sounds like the Spurs.
Yes. But, you know, now you've got Juju Smith-Schuster, Valdez-Scantling. Mm-hmm. I feel very sorry
underrated
for the guy who has to sew on those jersey names because Smith-Schuster and Valdez-Scantling.
And
it's a lot of letters.
They also got Dr. whatever Tardant. He's a hyphenated name as well. I mean, the Chiefs are going to have a lot of hyphenated names for their jersey guy to get into. But I think overall, everybody's making a big deal about the loss of Tyreek Hill. And I think this is a bigger deal for Tyreek Hill than it is for the Kansas City Chiefs, because they've still got Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah.
They've got the speed to help with both Mecole Hardman and Valdez-Scantling. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have the speed still.
They've got the in-between guys and Schuster and Kelsey.
They've
got the backs and Helaire and Jones. So
They invested heavily in that offensive line last year.
Yep.
Plus, they got draft capital for days now thanks to that. And one of the reasons that the Kansas City Chiefs, I think, or at least Tyreek Hill, thrives so much.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of off-script things that happened. And Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes had this rapport when things broke down to where he was wide open behind the defense after things broke down and Pat would find him.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen in Miami.
No.
And $30 million is a lot to pay for somebody that I don't know if Tua can consistently get to the ball downfield the same way that Patrick Mahomes did.
Yeah, I mean, but I think going in now with, what's his name from 49ers? McDaniel?
Josh McDaniel.
Josh McDaniel. I think
I love
we might see Tyreek used a lot in the same way that Deebo Samuel was. He's going to be in the backfield. They're going to put him in the backfield, swing him out into the slot. I think we're going to see his game starts to become a little bit more multidimensional.
Which
sort
is good.
Of, yeah.
But Deebo Samuel is built different than Tyreek Hill, too.
Yeah, but Tyreek Hill's speed is much
different. His speed is no doubt.
Is different. So I think McDaniel, in the offensive, you know, genius guru that he is said to be, is going to figure out a way to sort of supplement that down the field into, you know, shorter things that Tyreek could potentially break open into the touchdown.
Roby on our YouTube Live says, Tua, fantasy quarterback sleeper. He's got the Dolphins, a penguin, Jalen Waddle, and the cheetah, of course, Tyreek Hill. Let's not forget, they also got Mike Gesicki, Devontae Parker. They signed Cedric Wilson this offseason. There's weapons
Chase
for
Edmonds.
Chase
Miles
Edmonds,
Gaskin.
Mostert, Miles Gaskin. But at some point, is there an overabundance of weapons?
You know,
is there a law of diminishing returns at some point? Because you can't give everybody the ball all the time. And we saw that with the Dallas Cowboys as it pertains to Adams, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Dalton Schultz, and Michael Gallup. Everybody was talking about you could have 3 to 4 1,000-yard receivers, plus 1,000-yard back, plus 800 yards from Tony Pollard. Well, there's only one football, and there's only so many plays that you can run in a football game.
Yeah. No, I agree, but I think the difference between our roster and their roster is they've got it legit.
They don't have a better quarterback.
But the thing is with Dallas, we never knew week to week who the number one receiver was.
And when you have that many weapons, I don't think you have to know who the number one is,
but
right?
There is also something to be said for you know your role, and you fill that role to the best of your ability. So having Tyreek, obviously he's the number one. Jalen Waddle.
They're paying $30 million a year. Yeah, he better be.
Obviously he's the number one. Jalen Waddle going to kill it in the slot just like he did last year. And then we'll have, you know, Cedric Wilson, Devontae Parker on that other side.
Let's not forget about Gesicki.
Yeah, and Gesicki as the tight end, for sure.
But remember, McDaniel's offense coming from that Shanahan tree revolves around the run game.
Yeah.
And getting those guys carries, whether it's Mostert, whether it is Edmonds, or whether it is Miles Gaskin. I don't know how they're going to deploy the stable of backs, but you've seen it. Like, they may use a multitude of backs early on, they're going to hyper-focus on one at some point, and someone's going to take over the reins. We've seen it everywhere that the Shanahan tree has gone, the Kubiak tree, whatever tree you want to credit it to, it comes from that same line of thinking. McDaniel is going to eventually hyper-focus on one, and Edmonds is probably going to be the passing down, third down back, their change of pace guy. And I would imagine, especially the way that with the knowledge that Mostert has of the offense that is one to run, he's probably going to settle into that lead role. And you're talking about 20 to 25 carries a game for those guys, because this is an offense that is predicated on the run.
Yeah, definitely so. The thing is, if there's any proof in the pudding, Mostert's going to get hurt in about the second game. I don't know if that
that's fair.
I'm not sure if that man has played a full season in the last five seasons.
James Condor on our YouTube Live says Tyreek Hill will cap out at 800 yards and 6 touchdowns with Tua quarterback and not make the Pro Bowl for the first time. That feels like a realistic stat line. When you're talking about all these mouths to feed, unless you are truly going to force feed the ball to Tyreek Hill, which at $30 million,
I would.
You should. But at the same time, this is an offense that, if we're going to go by the tree that he comes from and what we saw in San Francisco, the run sets up the pass, not vice versa.
Yeah.
And so they're going to if they're going to force anything, it's going to be to the running backs.
Yeah. I think we see, like I said, Tyreek Hill play some running back. And I think
that's a fair point.
While he might lose some in receiving yards, he will make up for it in the all-purpose yards. So I think he'll be just fine, and I think he'll still be a
pro bowler.
What
about the Kansas City Chiefs? Because a lot of teams are saying they're now, if not the worst, the second worst team in the AFC West after this trade.
Well,
but I don't see it like that.
I don't really see it like that either.
They still got Patrick Mahomes,
and
right?
And they still got Andy Reid. So best coach, best QB, kind of hard to beat. So I think that division is a complete toss-up, to be honest. I don't think you can rank them 1 through 4 right now. I think anyone can take it, so it's going to be a fun division to keep an eye on to see who comes out of it for sure.
The AFC West is must watch football every single week.
Yes.
With the way that this division has shaken out, I just can't even fathom when you've got the Chiefs who have been the perennial top of the division and the team that everyone's fighting to catch.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got the Broncos going all in a sense, going and acquiring Russell Wilson with the weapons that he has with Jerry Jeudy and Sutland and mm-hmm. Patrick. Like, they've got weapons. And that defense is still really, really, really good.
Yeah.
With Bradley Chubb. And the defensive backs and Simmons on the back end at safety, they are set. But then you got what feels like the Chargers, who have not made the playoffs, go all in when you've got Justin Herbert on a rookie contract. You go out and re-sign Mike Evans to a huge deal. Mike Williams. You go out and you sign J.C. Jackson and you trade for Khalil Mack. You've already got Derwin James.
And Joey Bosa.
And Asante Samuel Jr.
That defense is scary.
That defense is terrifying.
Yeah.
And they've already got Austin Eckler if he stays healthy for a second straight year. You got to put that caveat on everything with Austin Eckler, I believe. But they feel like a team that is ready to compete. And then the team that actually made the playoffs along with the Chiefs last year, the Raiders, they get better by going out and adding Chandler Jones and Derek Carr's college roommate, Devontae Adams.
Yep. Freaking crazy, man.
This division is going to be so good, and I cannot wait to watch it all unfold. And close behind that division is the AFC North, I think, when you're talking about Trubisky rehabbing his image in Buffalo for a year, now falling into a pretty good situation in Pittsburgh. And then you go add Deshaun Watson to Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow mm-hmm. in that division. And the Bengals have managed to reshape that line with Lyle Collins and Reef Kappa from Tampa. Like, they've gone and added to that offensive line to help protect Joe Burrow, which was the thing that let them down last year.
Yep.
So the AFC North is a very close 1B to the AFC West's 1A, I believe.
I mean, even that entire conference, all of the AFC, there's about 11 or 12 teams you could
say. And only seven are making the playoffs.
Yeah, that you could say are a playoff team. And let's not forget, the Tennessee Titans,
they were the number one seed.
And they went and got Robert Woods to supplement what Julio Jones did.
That's a low-key, really. I'm glad you brought that up. That is a low-key, great, great addition.
Yes.
Because he is a blocking receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about the style that they run.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be a really, really good compliment.
Yeah. Him and AJ Brown are going to be really nice together, especially blocking on the edge. Because AJ Brown.
And Matty Ice. Matty Ice to the Colts.
To the Colts. I mean, Matty Ice to Pittman's going to be nice. Of course, Jonathan Taylor looking like the best back in the league with Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's going to come out of the AFC, man.
All right. Low-key, this football season may be one of the best football seasons of all time, and I cannot wait for this NFL season. And we're not even through free agency or into the draft.
This is going to be
insane, especially with the amount of teams that have multiple first-round picks this year now to help reshape their rosters. It's going to be nutso. He is Jack Thompson. I am James Pledger. Greg Shelton, our engineer on site, Edwin Hafner, back in studio. When we come back, I want to know what the atmosphere was like inside the AT&T Center this week as we get ready for the Elite Eight games. Jack Thompson was at the Sweet 16 games, and I want to know exactly what that atmosphere was like and what to expect as we get ready for today's Elite Eight matchup. That's coming up next right here on the Saturday Morning Hangover, live from Pinkerton's Barbecue downtown at Yuengling Lager Hoop City, Legacy Park downtown. Come join us. We are here till 11. We are enjoying ourselves after. Come say what's up right here on the Saturday Morning Hangover. San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM.
talk dirty to me.
Welcome back into the Saturday Morning Hangover right here at San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250, 103.3 FM. We are going till 11 o'clock. We are live down at Yuengling Lager Hoop City at Legacy Park downtown at Pinkerton's Barbecue. Come join us. Say what's up. Pinkerton's opening up at 11. As soon as we get off the air, we're grabbing us some food and a couple of Yuenglings. Yuenglings on special, $4. Whether you're doing the flight, Yuengling 99, Yuengling Lager, traditional, or, of course, the Golden Pilsner, they are all $4 right now down here at Yuengling Lager Hoop City at Legacy Park at Pinkerton's Barbecue. Come join us. Say what's up. But they are open, and it is Hoop City because the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight are right here in our fair city at the AT&T Center. Our man Jack Thompson was a part of it on Thursday night. Jack, what was it like down at the AT&T Center for that Sweet 16 game? Because I look at it, and the city does have a feel almost of a Final Four.
Yeah.
It feels very electric in the town. I see a lot of people walking around, whether they're wearing Arizona shirts or a lot of Houston shirts, Michigan shirts this week. I've seen a couple of Villanova shirts. What's it been like down at the AT&T Center? Because you were actually there.
Yeah, Thursday night's games were awesome, man. It was incredible.
It was good games.
Yeah, great games, incredible crowd. The Villanova-Michigan game, that one was pretty, you know, it was a great game all the way, you know, Villanova kind of opened it up down the stretch. Just a much more complete team. I kind of saw that one coming. I mean, Hunter Dickinson had a solid game, but at the end of the game, they kind of took him out of it, forced some other players to try to beat him. And, you know, Villanova, they took the win.
There's a solid team.
Yeah,
that's the best way I can describe them. They are solid.
Yeah. Slow and steady wins the race, man, and they're all about that. But that second game, Houston versus Arizona, that was a Houston Cougars home game. The Cougars came out
only 3 hours away.
They came out in force for that game, and it felt like we were in Houston. And they threw everything they had at Arizona, every defensive possession. That is a team.
They took Ben Mathurin out of that game.
Yeah, every time he touched the ball.
You're talking about him in the top 10 of this upcoming NBA draft. And the Spurs possibly looking at him. He was taken out of that game.
Yeah, he was. Every time he touched the ball in the first half, they were doubling him, forcing someone else to try and beat them. And, you know, it worked to their advantage. He got his in the second half. He started to catch a little fire, started hitting that offensive glass really well and getting some second chance points. But, man, outside of him, they really struggled. Koloko had just an average game. Kirk Carissa.
And I thought their size, having 3 7-plus footers, was going to be an issue for Houston.
I thought it was too, but nope. Houston just bullied them all game and, you know, got the dub. And
they hit him in the mouth.
No, hit him in the mouth several times early. And Jamal Sheed was just taking it at the opposition's point guards. And
let's give it up to San Antonio's own Kevin McCuller, the former Texas Tech.
Yep.
Red Raider, like, he came in and he balled out as well.
He did. He balled out. Kevin McCullers, great San Antonio player, been killer at Tech, probably their most important player on Texas Tech because he runs the point guard for them. And, you know, they gave Duke all they had, man. That was a great game, but the Duke's talent just took over. Paolo had an incredible game. We saw two games in a row now. Jeremy Roach down the stretch was absolutely huge for the Blue Devils.
And I want to talk about Jeremy Roach. I know that's not a game that you actually went to, but Jeremy Roach has been instrumental in late game situations for the Duke Blue Devils.
Yes.
Two games in a row now, both the Michigan State game and this game against Texas Tech. Like, he has been huge down the stretch. And I think now more so than I have before, that Duke can win a national title.
Yes.
Because of what has happened in these past two games. Because earlier in the year, they got hit in the face and they would lose, and they would lose bad. We saw it against North Carolina in the final game of the year. Mm-hmm. They didn't know how to respond to adversity, which is why I didn't have a lot of faith in Duke.
Yeah.
But the fact that they have responded to adversity, especially in that Michigan State game, mm-hmm. where I thought once Michigan State overtook them late in that game, I was like, well, it's over. This team's going
to
fold.
2 minutes, yeah. I mean, and then, you know, they give the ball to Jeremy Roach. He's their best off-the-dribble scorer, I would say. He's been very good at running the show down the stretch for him. And, yeah, I mean, I am with you. I think the Blue Devils could absolutely take it all this year. They match up much better. I mean, they've beaten Gonzaga already.
Mm-hmm.
But they match up better with Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas really only has one big. So, Mark Williams versus Jalen Williams, that'll be a great matchup. We've got J.D. Notae versus, you know, Jeremy Roach and Wendell Moore, whoever's the lead guard for the Duke handling the ball. You've got Stanley Amude, going to be another San Antonio prospect out of Warren High School. Stanley Amude is going to be going up against A.J. Griffin, two 6'8 guys going at each other. These teams just match up really well, and I expect, you know, another dogfight out of that one. It's going to be a great game.
He is Jack Thompson. I am James Pledger. We are live staring directly into the sun.
Yes.
Yingling Lager, Hoop City Plaza, out at Legacy Park at Pinkerton's Barbecue. Come join us. We're here for another hour. Don't go anywhere. We got more to talk about. The San Antonio Spurs have the chance to get in the play-in tournament, and it is a really, really good chance.
Yeah.
What should they do as we move forward with a huge game tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans? We'll talk about it next right here on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM.
James Pledger, Jack Thompson, the Saturday Morning Hangover.
Welcome back in hour number two of the Saturday Morning Hangover right here on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM. I am James Pledger. I am joined by Jack Thompson. We are live out at Pinkerton's Barbecue, downtown San Antonio, Legacy Park, at Yingling Lager, Hoop City.
Yep.
We are here until 11 o'clock, but Jack and I are staying afterwards. We're going to have a few of those $4 Yinglings that are special. Probably get a bucket of them, I would imagine, to go along with some fantastic barbecue. I'm going to get the Baller Mac and Cheese.
As will I.
Probably one of those big pork ribs, but the beef rib.
Yep.
I want one of the beef ribs. Those things are massive. They are delicious. They are my favorite. And probably a little bit of the sausage as well. I think that's going to be my lunch for the day.
Sounds solid.
I mean, you go in there and your eyes kind of get bigger than your stomach.
Absolutely.
Even my stomach, which is massive, I go in there and I'm like, I want this and I want this and I want this and I want that. And next thing you know, I'm looking at half of it going, I'm going to have to take some of this home. This ain't going to last.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But that's just how it is, because you get in there and you see it and you're like, oh, God, I need that. I need that in my life.
Yep.
I don't know why, but I need that.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not probably going to finish it, but I need it.
I need it.
That's just the way my eyes work in conjunction with my stomach.
Yep.
I see it and I need it.
Yep.
We are live here, though. Come join us as we get ready for the Elite Eight games down here in San Antonio. Of course, today's game, Houston and Villanova. How do you see that game working out, Jack?
You know,
I know you just saw both teams play the other day, and we've gushed on both Kelvin Sampson and Jay Wright.
Mm-hmm.
We've gushed on the way Houston has played to this point defensively, bullying people, the way they can switch on the outside. And then we've just talked about the solidness of Villanova. How do you see this game playing out? Because this is one of the tougher matchups I see in the Elite Eight games.
Man,
or closest matchups.
These teams match up so well. Their identities are very similar. They're both going to get after you defensively. It's really going to be, you know, hitting open shots and knocking down free throws because, you know, it's going to be an aggressive defensive game. There are going to be fouls. It's going to who doesn't turn the ball over, who hits their open threes, and who can consistently knock down their free throws. And for me, I feel like that sounds like Villanova. First of all, they don't miss free throws.
No.
That team does not miss.
That is one of the greatest things I love about Villanova because when you talk about college basketball, you always talk about poor free throw shooting down the stretch that allows teams to get back in the game.
Uh-huh.
It's just part of college basketball, and it's one of the things that absolutely frustrates me about college basketball. Villanova does not miss free throws down the stretch.
They are so solid.
Mm-hmm. And I love that about this team, and I think it's one of the reasons that I love them to advance in the Final Four. Not only into the Final Four, but also just in the tournament in general.
Yeah, I think Villanova pulls this one out, but I think it's going to be a very close game. And, I mean, if Houston won, I would not be shocked in the slightest. So I think this is a pretty dead even matchup right here, and I would expect, you know, the betting odds to reflect that as soon the closer we get to tip off.
So just because of their solidness defensively, offensively, and the free throw shooting being the separator.
Yeah, I don't see the pressure from Houston affecting Villanova like it does other teams because their guards are so solid. They've been here, done this. They know what they're doing. Like I said before, Colin Gillespie's played over, 340 NCAA March Madness minutes and only has, I don't think he had a turnover last game, so I think it's still at seven turnovers.
That is just insane.
Yeah, so he's averaging basically a full game a turnover in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So that's incredible. But to see, I mean, I'm so excited for the Jamal Shedd, Colin Gillespie matchup.
Now, does this change if Kyler Edwards goes off again?
He's definitely, I would say.
Is he kind of the X factor of this game?
He's certainly the X factor from Houston. He's the best at creating his own shot off the dribble. It's a very consistent three-point shooter. And he's the only player on this Houston team that has this type of, you know, late March Madness experience because he
was
did
on
it
that
with
team.
Tech. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did. He's done this with Tech and he knows like what it takes this far in the tournament. So as far as for Houston, I would say he's the X factor. For the Villanova Wildcats, the X factor would be Jermaine Samuels. He is a 6'8" kind of pocket knife forward that the Wildcats have. He guards 1 through 5. He plays the 5 when Eric Dixon comes out. He can hit the 3, goes to the basket really well, and he's probably their best, you know, wing defender. So I would say he would be the X factor for them.
Outside of San Antonio.
Yeah.
Let's go over on the west side of the bracket and look at Duke and what they've got against Eric Musselman and the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Duke has found a way to get up off the mat, and I really like them because of that this year. But Arkansas is playing about as well as you can going into this game. Where do you lay when you look at it? Because I look at the talent and the actual the mental toughness of Duke over these last few games, and I give the edge to Duke because of that, plus, of course, Coach K in his final game.
Yeah, I also give the edge to Duke. While Arkansas is playing phenomenal right now, J.D. Notae is as good a guard as there is in the entire tournament.
Talk about a guy that can get his own shot.
Yeah, that boy is an absolute bucket getter. Adis Toney, their Pitt transfer, their two guard, very good, tough defender. They've got Stanley Amude. They've got Debo Davis, who's another good guard off the bounce. Not a great shooter, but gets to the rack really well. And then they've got, you know, Jalen Williams, their big man, 6'10" big man. But behind them, they really only have one player that comes in and gives them good minutes. It's their Miami transfer, Chris Likes.
Mm-hmm.
You won't miss him on the court. He's the absolute smallest guy out there, 5'7".
Well, you might miss him if he's standing behind somebody.
True, yeah. If he's behind Big Mark Williams, there's no way you're going to see him. But the thing is, the Duke Blue Devils go a lot deeper. I mean, you've got their starting five, Jeremy Roach, great point guard. Wendell Moore, excellent two. Mm-hmm. AJ Griffin, great 3-and-D guy, can also score it off the bounce. They've got Paolo, who I think is, you know, maybe cementing himself back into that first overall pick mm-hmm. conversation, especially with what he did in the last game. And then
he fell out because he was taken out of games a lot mm-hmm. throughout the season, but he has put his will on late game situations.
Yes. And he has been phenomenal.
Shown
lately.
That he can take over a game if needed.
And his facilitating has also stepped up a notch, too.
And his ability to knock down that three ball.
He's a phenomenal player. And then you've got Mark Williams to round out the big defensive anchor.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also got Trevor Keels off the bench. They've got Theo John off the bench. They've got Joey Baker, who comes in off the bench to hit threes.
It's just too much, you think?
I think at the end of the day, it's going to be too much for the Razorbacks. And I think that Duke takes this game out of just the sheer star power.
Quickly on the other two games, St. Peter's has gotten so much disrespect.
Yep.
The Peacocks have another tough game
yep.
with a team that is about as hot as anybody.
The two hottest teams in the country, bar none. Right
bar
now.
None. And you've got UNC coming in and taking on those pesky St. Peter's Peacocks.
Yep.
This is where it ends for them, right?
I think so.
I don't want to. I've always been the yeah, but guy throughout most of this tournament. Yeah, but they beat the number two seed. Yeah, but they beat a team that was really, really good in Murray State. Yeah, but the Big Ten's been down. Can't you see them getting the upset? I've always been that yeah, but guy with St. Peter's since they upset Kentucky. I don't have a yeah, but for UNC.
Yeah, UNC has been dominant in this tournament run. Caleb Love is probably the best player in the tournament right now as far as getting it done on a game-to-game basis.
Mm-hmm. 27 of his 30 came in that second half.
In the second half. I mean, he absolutely blew up. You've got Armando Bacot, one of the best bigs in the league. And while, you know, they handled Edie, Baycott's a little different. He's not as big. But he's way more physical. He's gonna
physical, and he can. He enforces his will on games more so than Edie does.
Yes, he does. He demands the ball in the paint. He has a nasty drop step, and I don't know if you know they have someone that can match up with him physically. Also, I mean Brady Manick, if he hadn't have fouled out
of Baylor.
Yeah, they would have blown Baylor out the water.
Truth.
They were up 25, and he already had 27. He might have gone for 40 in that game. So if Brady Manick can get that three ball rolling, along with Caleb Love and R.J. Davis, they're just a tough squad right now. But St. Peter's, I mean, people keep counting them out. People keep saying they can't do it. So it's hard for me to say that this is the end of the run because they keep getting it going. So
they rolling in here. I see the Cougs working their way down in to Legacy Park, the Yuengling Lager Hoop City
yep.
down here at Pinkerton's Barbecue, already ready for today's game against Villanova.
Yep.
Finally, of course, we got the hot Miami Hurricanes
yep.
taking on the number one seed, the final number one seed remaining.
And honestly, I thought going into the tournament, the most eminently beatable number one seed.
Really?
I thought so. I mean, Remy Martin hadn't rounded out back into form.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if...
And it seemed like because you talked about him transferring from Arizona State, and he was with Josh Christopher, and after Christopher went into the draft, he kind of left
mm-hmm.
Arizona State and ended up down there. And it felt like he, because of the injury, just hadn't found his place.
Yeah, he hadn't found his rhythm, but...
He
found his rhythm last night. I mean, 16 points off the bench, led him in scoring. If he can do that again, then, you know, if he stays hot, Kansas could win it all. Because if Ochai Agbaji's feeling it, he's as good as anyone in the whole country.
Anyone.
Jalen Wilson hasn't had the season he did last year, but he's still an incredible wing player.
And they've got a San Antonio boy on that Kansas team.
Who's from San Antonio?
Oh, God. I forget his name, but I know I saw...
Oh, Zach Clements.
Yes, Clements.
Zach Clements, yes. Went to Antonian for a year, and then he transferred to...
one of the factories.
Yeah, I want to say it was Findlay Prep in California. Findlay Prep closed down, and then he transferred to Sunrise Christian, who was the best high school team in the nation while he was there. Zach Clements, I mean, don't expect him to see the court.
No.
He's not going to see the court, but we do.
But there's the San Antonio guy that you can pull for there.
Yeah, San Antonio guy on the Jayhawks. And they're just a really, with Remy Martin, they're a very complete team. But the thing is for them is it's David McCormick. If David McCormick can stay on the court and be consistent around the rim, they're extremely tough to beat. But sometimes he falls short of doing that, and they've dropped some games because of it. But don't count out the Hurricanes, man. Like I said, Charlie Moore, Isaiah Wong, and Cameron McGusty, those are three pro guards. Maybe not NBA, but all three of them will be playing pro somewhere. So that is a very tough team. They've handed out great wins and buckets to all of the teams that they've played so far. They're a 10 seed that's made it into the Elite Eight. So that's a team that is also as hot as anybody right now, and I would not put money to count them out because they're that good.
He is Jack Thompson. Follow my Twitter at Jack_Thompson33. I am at I Am Pledger. You're locked into the Saturday Morning Hangover right here on San Antonio Sports Star. We are downtown at Pinkerton's Barbecue. Yuengling Lager, Hoop City at Legacy Park. Come join us. Come say what's up. We're about to grab some barbecue here in about 40 minutes and a couple of Yuenglings. Of course, Yuengling's on special, whether it's a traditional lager, the Flight 99, the Golden Pilsner. It's all $4. We'll end up with a bucket after the show. I'm positive of it. Come drink with us. Come eat some barbecue with us. We're going to get some... that bala mac and cheese.
Oh, I'm absolutely getting bala mac and cheese.
That is happening for sure. When we come back, though, we're going to talk about the Spurs, who have a big game tonight out in New Orleans. Can they make the play-in? Or, as I like to say, are they about to fall ass backwards into the play-in? We'll talk about it next right here on the Saturday Morning Hangover. San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM. Saturday Morning Hangover right here on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250, 103.3 FM. I am James Pledger. I am joined by Jack Thompson.
Yeah, yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter. He is at Jack_Thompson33. I am at I Am Pledger. You can follow the station at SA Sports Star. Edwin Hafner producing back at the studio. Greg Shelton, our on-site engineer, the Houston Cougars alumni, setting up as they get ready for tonight's games down here. We are live at Pinkerton's Barbecue downtown, Yuengling Lager Hoop City at Legacy Park. Come join us. Come say what's up. We're about to get out and start our Yuenglings here in a little bit. But the San Antonio Spurs, they better not have any Yuengling today.
They can have some.
I mean, they've got a pretty big game. I want them to be in the right state of mind. Unless, of course. A couple
beers puts you in a pretty good state of mind.
Does it now? Is it like golf where you got to get in that sweet spot of...
Exactly. They might play better.
And we didn't plan this, but we both decided to wear our Jordan 1s today.
Yes, sir.
As you've got the Cougar colors, I've got the Blue Devil colors rocking. Looking at the Spurs game, though, it's huge because they're playing the Pelicans, who they trail by two games for that play-in, and the Lakers also two games out of the Spurs for the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
So ninth and tenth doesn't matter. If you make up two games, you are in the play-in over one of those teams.
If everything falls correctly, depending on if your team lottery pick or team play-in. If your team play-in,
and you can be both, though, right? Because if you're in the play-in, you're not technically in the playoffs, so you're still in the lottery if you lose in the play-in, right?
Yeah.
Your chances are lower because you're still in that 13-14 range.
I guess.
I so you can have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, for me, it's, you know, lottery's 1 to 10.
Yes.
10 to 15 is, you know, that's, it's a lottery.
It's the lower odds, but you're going to be where you're at.
That's the $20 scratch-off lottery right there. You're not going for the...
That's the $2 scratch-off.
Yeah, there you go. So, it's a big game. I mean, if everything falls correct for team play, and we could be by, I want to say Thursday, we could be in, you know, sitting in that play-in bracket. Because we play the Pels, and then the Pels and Lakers play each other, I believe, on Monday or Tuesday. So if we beat the Pels, and then the Pels lose to the Lakers, or vice versa, then I think we fall right into that. So we're sitting pretty right on the outside. For me, I mean, everybody wants us to go get this playoff experience.
Sure.
I don't buy it. What, I mean, what experience do you get if you make the 10 and lose that first game?
None.
There's no experience to be had there
that
for me.
That first game would likely be against Minnesota, I
yes,
believe.
And we saw what Cat did to us the last time we played Minnesota. So
you don't think you can have a counter to a 60-point game?
Not really. Most teams most teams can't really counter that, so that's a, you know, I would say, I don't want to say a hungrier team than us because, you know, the Spurs are hungry, a bunch of young guys. They want to prove themselves, but that's a more, you know, well-off team. They've got D'Lo, they've got Cat, they've got Anthony Edwards. That's three, you know, all-star players.
They've got
right
their guys.
There. Yeah, they've got their guys. They've got their centerpieces that they're trying to build around. So that's a team, you know, that could give a lower team in the playoffs some trouble because they make it out the play-in. It's a tough team.
You could say the Spurs have a couple of their centerpieces to build around them.
Yeah, yeah, we've got one for sure. Keldon, I would say, is pretty for
the
sure
the way
as
he's
well.
Been playing lately, I would say he looks like one of those central pieces you want to build around.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, we've got the serviceable pieces that you have.
The Lonnies.
Yeah, the Lonnies, the Devins, the Yaks. And that's about it. I mean, oh, actually, I absolutely love me some Josh Richardson. He has been instrumental to our team as of late.
And you got to have some form of veteran.
Yes, you can't be all young guys. You cannot be all young guys.
Good teams have mixes.
Mm-hmm. And he is a great 3-and-D player. He's great shooting off the catch and off the dribble. He gets to the basket really well, so I've loved what Josh Richardson has brought to the table, and I hope, you know, he's got one more year on his contract, but I would love to keep him around for longer than that. So, you know, I still fall into the, I want, you know, that top 10
pick, draft pick
for the Spurs to go get, you know, a Jalen Duren, a Keegan Murray, a Benedict Mathurin, someone along those lines. But, you know, I also love for the Spurs to win. So it's tough right now. The Spurs are in a weird sort of purgatory in this Western Conference that we really don't know what they're trying to do or wanting to do. Because every time it seems like, oh, we need this game to get into the play-in, well, we sit Keldon, DJ, and Yak. Or we get 30-pieced by the Pelicans, you know?
Do you expect anybody to sit tonight?
No, I've seen the injury report out already. It's Devin is...
Langford.
Yeah, Langford's out. Lonnie's out. We've got the usual suspects down in Austin who are out. Kaycock, Wieskamp. Primo is staying up. He'll probably get his, you know, what we've seen him getting, that 25-minute a game range. So, you know, if we have our big three and we got Jay Rich off the bench, we've got a shot. And especially if B.I. is still out, we definitely could go in and take these Pelicans out and, you know, get that full game closer to them. So
now, back spasms.
Yes.
Do you consider that Do you think he's actually dealing? Because this is the third straight game that Lonnie's dealing
with
back spasms.
I do. I think the way Lonnie had been playing, I think that he is out due to uncomfortable back spasms. And for those that have had back spasms, you can't really do anything when you got them. It's hard to even sit up. So, yeah, I think that's a little more of an injury than, like, a thigh contusion.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think he's legit just not feeling comfortable. I wouldn't say that he's injured. He's just hurt right now. So.
Okay. He is Jack Thompson. You can follow him on Twitter at Jack_Thompson33. I am at I Am Pledger. We are live down at Pinkerton's Barbecue, downtown San Antonio at the Yuengling Lager Hoop City. At Legacy Park, of course, we are going to be getting us here in about 30 minutes. A lot of barbecue and a lot of beer. $4 Yuenglings on sale. Yuengling Lager, Yuengling Flight, Yuengling 99, and of course the Yuengling Golden Pilsners. Probably get a bucket with a couple of those different types of Yuenglings in them.
Oh, yes.
And we are going to be here, so come out, say what's up. The Houston Cougar Alumni Association is here set up, as if you are a Houston Cougar fan, they've got you covered. When we come back, though, the Dallas Cowboys have been relatively quiet in free agency, though there is still quite the moves that they could make if they so chose to. We'll talk about the Cowboys offseason, how it pertains coming into the draft, coming up next right here on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM. Welcome back into the Saturday Morning Hangover right here on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250, 103.3 FM. I am James Pledger. I am joined by Jack Thompson. We are live down at Yuengling Lager Hoop City at Legacy Park, downtown San Antonio at Pinkerton's Barbecue. Come join us. Of course, the Houston Cougar Alumni Association
take over
is out
this
here.
Place.
Yeah, they're going to own this place. And that TV that they just turned on out here in the foyer out here at Legacy Park.
It's beautiful.
That is a clean-looking screen.
I need one of those. That size.
There is zero
no
interference
glare,
from the sun.
It's beautiful.
It is awesome. They're using LEDs, not projectors. It is perfect. And they're going to have the games on for you out here. We're going to be out here after the show. We're going to enjoy ourselves a little bit, have some Yuenglings that are on special for $4. But the NFL, man, the Dallas Cowboys have been very quiet, barely re-signing their own out in free agency. Michael Gallup, after some of the receiver deals that we've seen take place, looks like an absolute steal right now.
Yes.
When you look at Michael Gallup's, what he signed for the amount of years and the money involved in it, that is hands down, best signing of the offseason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that is fantastic for the San Antonio Spurs, being out ahead of the wide receiver market in that respect. It's going to be great. Now, there are still some great names available in free agency, and I do believe that the Cowboys can make some news in free agency with the way that things are going.
You look
at some of the players that are still available. You look at where they possibly could use some help still.
Mm-hmm.
They can get players that as free agency money is drying up and teams are drying up and the amount of players still left out there available.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that some of these players could look to sign short 1 to 2 year deals for low money on a team that can win and compete, and they can rehab their value for the coming season.
Absolutely.
And the Dallas Cowboys, being in the NFC, where it has gotten imminently weaker and easier to make a run, I think this is perfect for the Dallas Cowboys in terms of going and getting some value in free agency right
Absolutely.
Now.
There's some names out there that if the Cowboys could snag would make a instant huge difference.
Stephon
Gilmore. I mean,
I like Kevin King out of Green Bay
King,
as well.
You said Kyle Fuller still
Kyle
a free
Fuller's
agent.
Kyle Fuller's still a free agent.
I would love Calais Campbell would absolutely help our defensive interior line.
Jason Barrett.
Barrett. You got Jadeveon Clowney. You got Akeem Hicks. I mean, there's a lot of names out there. I mean, not to mention everybody still wants Bobby Wagner. There's a ton of players out there that, you know, if the Cowboys so chose, they would make an instant impact in winning for sure.
And is if we talk about interior offensive line help, of course, which has been a thing for the Dallas Cowboys, that in talks of what can you go out and get that can possibly help them interior on the offensive line, and Brandon Schell, you look at Trey Turner available, Brandon Scherff, there are names out there, Jermaine Afidi, to where you can get interior offensive line help and solidify that interior without having to, you know, be forced going into the draft to be looking like we need to go here early. We need to, you can legitimately just take best player available and be set in
and
the
draft.
And
that's what the Cowboys have been great at as of late is taking the best player available, not trying to fill the holes. Now that you say that, I would love for the Cowboys to go get, you know, a guard that's a veteran.
Trey Turner.
Yeah, Trey Turner, a veteran that can come in and, you know, immediately make an impact at that position instead of having to, you know, of course, I would like to draft a guard too, but it's always more difficult to come in as a rookie and make an impact rather than a seasoned vet who knows the game and knows what he's doing. So I'd love to go snag an interior offensive lineman for us. That would be, I think, huge.
Whether it's that, you look at Ereck Flowers, or Trey Flowers, excuse me.
How much cap money do we have left?
I believe the Cowboys have a little over 20 million. They're in the top 10 in terms of salary
cap
space.
You got to think you have to save, like, what, 8 mil of that for the draft?
I don't know what the number is set at this year, but it's somewhere between 8 and 12 million.
Yeah, so realistically we have between, what, like 10 and 8 to give people for next year as far as so I mean that's two players right there. That's two low that's two low contracts for a year or two. So I would love for the boys to go get at least two more people that can come in and make an immediate impact.
And as I look at it in terms of salary cap space that is available, Panthers lead the way, 31 million, Browns 26, Texans 26, Chiefs 23. I look at the Cowboys, they've got a little over 15 million, 16 million in salary cap space remaining.
All right. So that's enough to go get at least
one to two
players that can immediately come in and impact winning for the
Cowboys.
And
if you talk about going and getting players that can make an impact, with the way that free agency money is drying up, there is enough available to where you can basically go sign a player and get them on the cheap as they look to rehab their value for next season when the cap's supposed to really explode. Like, it blew up this year coming out of COVID, but next year is when it's really supposed to take a big hit. So I could see certain players looking to get into good situations on good teams to rehab their value and really strike when the iron's hot next season.
I'd love to go get Stephon Gilmore. You put him, I think it'd be a great spot for him.
You put him on the other side of Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah, Trey Diggs still would be our number one, of course, and then you've got Stephon that takes the number two and just completely locks him down all game like he always does, so I think that would be a great fit. So if we could go get an offensive lineman and Stephon Gilmore, I think we're set.
Turner and Gilmore.
Turner and Gilmore.
Names.
Yep, I'd
see
love.
See if you can get them into.
I would love to bring them in.
He is Jack Thompson. You can follow him on Twitter at Jack_Thompson33. I am at I am Pledger. We are about 15 minutes away from a couple of $4 Yinglings and some
Bala
mac and cheese.
Bala mac and cheese.
Come join us out
at
Pinkerton's Barbecue. We're at Yuengling Lager Hoop City at Legacy Park in downtown San Antonio out at Pinkerton's Barbecue. Come join us. Of course, the Houston Cougar Alumni Association is already set up. Come watch the games with us. We are about to to put a bow on this show. But speaking of which, being downtown, I saw one of the downtown sightseeing buses drive by, and it's left the question in my mind. Outside of the Alamo, what are the sights to see on a tour bus downtown? We're going to talk about it next right here on the Saturday Morning Hangover, right here on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM. James Pledger. I'm joined by Jack Thompson as always. We are live, baby! Live down at Yuengling Lager Hoop City at Legacy Park down at Pinkerton's Barbecue in downtown San Antonio as we get ready to put a bow on the show. Come out and join us. We're about to enjoy some of those $4 Yuenglings.
Oh, yes,
a little bit of ball of mac and cheese. I think I'm going to get me one of those huge Brontosaurus beef ribs. I am stoked. I am so starving right now.
I am too.
Oh, man. But I was thinking about it, and I saw, as we were down here, one of those sightseeing tour buses drive by. I was like, okay, a sightseeing tour bus. Outside of the Alamo, what are the sights to see when you're talking about sightseeing in downtown San Antonio? Because I don't come to downtown San Antonio a lot, mainly just because it's so far out of my way.
And there's
from
nowhere
where I
free
live,
to park.
Nowhere free to park. whatchamacallit? I definitely, when I come enjoy myself down here, I don't, like, the Uber's going to be really expensive trying to get out of here.
Yep.
Especially this time of year when you're talking about, you know, I remember Final Four Ubering back from when we had the Final Four down at the Alamo Dome, Ubering back from downtown that night from the Riverwalk, it's like $100-something Uber.
It's insane. That is insane.
But it was what it was at that point in time. So I was thinking to myself, okay, if I'm going to get it, there it is right there on that sightseeing tour bus outside of the Alamo, what are my sights to see in San Antonio? If I'm driving around downtown San Antonio, because a lot of people are in town, like Villanova fans, Michigan fans, you know, the people that the Houston Cougars sent home early. As we look at it, what around San Antonio would you be like, all right, well, the sights to see outside the Alamo are, and I had a tough time, I struggled.
Yeah, we had to rack our brains a little bit. I came up with
Tower of the Americas.
The tower.
You came up with that, and I was like, all right, that's a great one. I like the Tower of the Americas.
Market Square in Mitieta, that's another,
another
San Antonio staple.
Somebody brought up the Riverwalk, but that's more of a thing you go
to. You got to go down into it to really experience it. I mean, I said Central Catholic.
Of course.
Got to take a look at
CC. You got to go see CC.
Got to see the CC. But honestly, I don't. There's not a whole lot that I can really think of.
Are there building, like, central and paramount to the San Antonio skyline now is right behind us, the Frost Building. So there's that. Are there other buildings, like old buildings that you would consider,
you know,
as historic parts of San Antonio?
There absolutely are. I mean, I feel like that one we're looking at right there looks pretty dang old.
Yeah,
so
that the architecture on it is amazing. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know the historical relevance to all of the buildings.
I know
buildings.
There are some down around the Riverwalk.
Yeah, there's a I mean, the Majestic, maybe? Another one.
That's a good one.
Take a look at. But really, I mean, the Alamo is the piece de resistance.
Well, yeah, that's the focal point of of what you're doing.
Yeah.
As I look at it, and there's just it caught me off guard because outside of myself, I didn't think exactly like, hey, what would be the sights to see?
No, you make a good point. I don't really know either.
But at the same time, I'm not downtown a lot, so I wouldn't, off the top of my head, or spend a lot of time downtown. I know the building where MySA is pretty historic is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's that, and there's a lot to go on down there. So I wonder And I'm starting to wonder less and less as we're starting to put things together.
Yeah, there
Market
are some,
Square
for
made
sure.
a lot of sense yeah. to me. Of course, the piece de resistance of the skyline when you talked about the Tower of Americas. Like, these are things that made sense.
Yeah.
So it makes more sense to me now. It makes a lot more sense to me now that there can be a downtown sightseeing mm-hmm. tour. As we get ready for tonight's games, we look at the game taking place right here in San Antonio.
Yep.
Villanova and Houston
Wildcats.
Are so
Houston
close
Cougars.
In my mind.
They are.
That is the best matchup remaining in the Elite Eight, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree. They
it is closely followed, I think, by Duke and Arkansas.
Yes.
But the best matchup remaining, I believe, is Houston and Villanova.
I agree. Those are two teams that are just going to get after each other for 48 minutes. They're going to go hard the whole time. They're going to play great defense. They're going to attack the glass on the offensive and defensive end. There's going to be threes. There's going to be dunks. It's going to be a great game for sure. Great game. Two great coaches, two great programs. It's going to be awesome.
All right, because we have the Houston Cougar Alumni Association all around us here at Legacy Park at Yingling Lager Hoop City at Pinkerton's Barbecue. Before we go off the air, we're going to pick this game. But I will go first to draw the ire of Houston Cougar fan because I just think Villanova, I've said, looks like the most complete team I've seen so far in the tournament. They do. And part of it is because they are so good from the free throw line. They can close out games late.
Yeah.
And that's why, and I knew I was going to take the looks, but apparently this, as great as Houston is, and I have them in my Final Four in my bracket, I do. I have Houston in my Final Four in my bracket, but if I'm to pick this game between Houston and Villanova,
yeah.
Villanova has been, as I've said all tournament long, the most complete team I've seen so far in this tournament. So tonight I have them winning a close one.
Yeah, I sit right there with you, man.
Okay.
The Wildcats, they're slow and steady. They don't turn the ball over. They hit shots.
They hit free throws.
They hit free throws, more importantly. And, you know, it's going to be a close one.
I'm from Houston. I'm from Houston. I just want to parse that. Like, that's where most of my sports allegiances lie, Cougar fan. But I'm sorry.
We have to be, you know.
I have to be true to myself and what I see.
Yeah.
And
also, I ain't betting against Jay Wright.
Jay Wright is, and Kelvin Sampson's a great coach, but Jay Wright is eminently.
It's a walking Hall of Famer.
He's the best coach left in the tournament, and that includes Coach K.
Yeah, I mean. I don't know if I go that far.
I love me some Jay.
I love Jay Wright,
too. He does more with less than anybody that I
That's know. No, you're not lying there. I'm just so excited for the Colin Gillespie and Jamal Shedd matchup. Those are two dog point guards that are going to go after each other the entire game.
Now, I will say with this caveat, I expect Houston to win if Kyler Edwards goes off. Like, Kyler Edwards is the X factor in this game.
Eminently possible, yeah. So, if I'm the Wildcats, I'm putting Jermaine Samuels on Kyler Edwards. His length, athleticism, I think can negate some of what Kyler can do. So, it's going to be a tough one.
That's going to do it for us here on the Saturday Morning Hangover. Come join us. Me and Jack are about to go eat and drink some beers.
Yeah, we are.
We are live out at Yingling Lager Hoop City at Legacy Park at Pinkerton's Barbecue. We'll see you next week, guys.